If you turn to Acts chapter 5, please. And I'm going to begin reading in Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but that he had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as anyone had need. And Joses, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, and his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own to control? In your own control. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young man arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, Tell me whether you have sold the land for so much. And she said, Yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. So after reading that, after doing your homework, you know that this isn't a perky little message or a encouraging one, more on the rebuke or exhortation side, which after the last two studies, it was like, oh, you know, you just love that encouragement and all of that, but this is so needed. Now, at this point in time, and I am so excited to start the book of Acts on Sunday morning, I just finished it in my morning devotions, and it's just so good. And we did it, taught it a few years ago at Ladies Study, and it's just wonderful. So I'm just excited to be in the book of Acts. So the day of Pentecost has already happened. The Holy Spirit was poured out. Peter had preached two sermons. Thousands were saved, and the church was birthed. So now they have all of these new Christians loving the Lord, excited about the Lord. If it's too dark in there, you can flip the light on so you can read your Bibles in there. If it was me, it would be too dark. So I have to have a lot of light at my house. So these believers, they were excited. They loved the Lord, and they voluntarily then sold those things that they had so that, now that's annoying, okay. Maybe so. Okay. For the tape, it was a flickering light. Don't you hate that? You get a tape and everybody's laughing or doing whatever and you're wondering what it is. That's why you should be here, you know. So these new Christians voluntarily sold their possessions, and they came and they laid their money at the apostles' feet, and then they distributed. Very good. That's fine. They distributed them to anyone who has need. That's why they were off. Okay. And then in verse 36, we meet Barnabas, who is a wonderful man and a wonderful study in itself. So that son of encouragement. And don't we all like to have Barnabas for our friend? And I'm sure you have some in your life as I do. But then in chapter 5, the first word is but. On the contrary, in contrast to Barnabas and all of these other people who are so freely giving to the Lord, we meet these two people, this husband and wife team, Ananias and Sapphira. Now, we're doing the women of the Bible, but you can't do Sapphira without talking about her husband. So it seems as though Ananias and Sapphira kind of got caught up in the excitement of the new church, of the early church, and the selling of the possessions. And maybe, you know, if the apostles named Barnabas son of encouragement, they liked that. That was, people paid attention to him, and maybe they wanted that recognition. So they had some land, and so they decided that they would sell their land, and but they talked with each other and agreed that they didn't really want to give all of the money. They wanted the recognition, but they didn't want to give all the money. So they agreed, well, we'll just, you know, hold some back, and we'll just really lead them to believe that we are giving our all. So Ananias came and he laid it at the apostles' feet, at Peter's feet, and he lied. He simply lied. And he lied for the purpose of making him and his wife look better than they really were, and which is hypocrisy. It's pretending to be more spiritual than they really were. Now, there was nothing wrong with them selling that land and giving half, giving a quarter, giving 10%, giving whatever they wanted to give. They could have done that. And Peter even tells them, it's yours. You didn't have to give it all. But they wanted to look a certain way. Now, God gave Peter discernment, because how in the world was Peter supposed to know? But God gifted him, gave him that wisdom and that discernment to know there's something up here. This man is not being honest. And the Lord seems to do that with leaders, and it's very needed. You really don't want to have a leader that doesn't have discernment or wisdom. And Peter had said, why has Satan filled your heart that you would lie to the Holy Spirit? And if you notice there in verse 3 and then again in verse 4, it tells us that Ananias lied to the Holy Spirit, and then it tells us that he lied to God, which once again is just proof of the Godhead, the Trinity, that they are all one. Lying to the Holy Spirit is the same as lying to God. And he said, why did you do this? Why did you do this? You had control. You didn't have to lie. You didn't have to portray this, but he wanted to be look more spiritual. And then when Ananias heard these words from Peter, he fell down dead. God's judgment came. That this is what God thought of lying. And then because in those days and their customs and the heat of the day, they immediately take the body out and bury it. There's no notifying the family, or maybe they couldn't find Sapphira or something. They just went out and took care of it. So she comes in 3 hours later, not knowing what had happened. And so then Peter gives her the opportunity to tell the truth. Did you sell the land for this much? Yes, we did. And then he said, well, gee, sorry, I gave you the opportunity to tell the truth. She could have as a wife. Now, it indicates that they were in agreement together, so it wasn't a matter of her being forced into this kind of a thing. And even in a situation like this, we are not required to submit to our husbands. If anything that we go against the Lord, we're not required to lie. And but she had the same thing. She wanted people to think better of her than she really was. And God's judgment came and met with her. And she fell down and died, breathed her last. And the Lord loves his church. The church had just begun. And he paid a great price for his church. He gave his son, and by his son's blood, he paid for the church. And God was setting a standard in the early church of holiness, of purity, of honesty. And he chose to use Ananias and Sapphira as the example of how serious he is about holiness, purity, honesty. One man said, "Either Ananias and Sapphira or the Spirit must go." Such was the white-hot purity of that early Christian fellowship. A lie of that kind couldn't live within it. You could not have lying in the church. The Holy Spirit, that's grieving the Holy Spirit, that's quenching the Holy Spirit. So that purging, that purity, that judgment had to come. Hebrews 10:30 and 31 says, "The Lord will judge his people, and it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Now, again, the Lord loves his church. And in Ephesians 5, it tells us Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. He wants to present his church pure and holy. This was the beginning of the church, and again, his judgment came forth to set that example. Ananias and Sapphira's sin affected the entire church. And had their lie and their sin gone unjudged, they could have then become very influential in the church. Now, what kind of leadership, what kind of example would that be? That deception, that lying, that cheating, hypocrisy, trying to portray something that you really aren't. Now, the result from this was that great fear came upon all the church and upon all that heard these things, and that's exactly what God wanted, the fear of the Lord to be in them so that no one else would try this. No one else would lie. No one else would walk in hypocrisy. Now, for our application. You know, studies like this, I think, you know, why, and this is just me, this is a personal thing, but why do we even have to talk about this? It shouldn't be in the body of Christ. We shouldn't have to address lying. We shouldn't have to address hypocrisy. We shouldn't have to address pride. It's because of our sinful, wicked hearts and this flesh that we have to deal with, that we have to have messages like this. You know, it's really to our shame that we have to be told not to lie, not to be a hypocrite, to pride. And I'm speaking to myself along with you. It just, I don't know, that's just, I sat down and I thought, this is ridiculous. You know, just, I'm looking in the mirror, grow up. You know, just grow up. Proverbs 6:16, which is a very sobering scripture, says, "These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him." I'm an abomination to God. "A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren." A proud look in a lying tongue. Proverbs 12:22 tell us that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Lying is an abomination to the Lord. Now, some of us, before we knew the Lord, were liars. Nobody wants to be called a liar, you know. You're when you're a kid, liar, liar, pants on fire, hang from a telephone wire, you know, kind of a thing. Nobody wants to be known as a liar. And yet, you know, I don't know any of you before you knew the Lord, really. So I don't know if you used to be a liar. You don't know if I used to be a liar. you've probably known some liars. And it liars lie so much that they really don't even realize after a while they're lying. I had a family member who was a, I don't know what you want to call it, a liar. And trying to think of another word like a kleptomaniac or something other. I'm sure there's a technical name for lying. A habitual liar, yes. And she had to lie to cover her lie to cover her lie to cover her lie. You just don't even know. It's just a trap. And then there's just those little tiny lies or those exaggerations or whatever it might be. Now, recently, and this is probably just a really horrible illustration, but I was watching an I Love Lucy episode, and it was called Lucy Tells the Truth. Now, I don't know how many of you are fans of I Love Lucy. Okay, good. All right. Lucy, you know Lucy, and she fibs, and fibs is a nice way of saying lying. She exaggerates and all of that. Well, Ricky and Ethel and Fred bet her $100 if she could tell the truth for 24 hours, which they thought, we've got it made. You know, she can't do it. And she, of course, you know, thinks she can do it. So she makes the bet, and then Ethel says, well, this ought to be fun tomorrow when we play bridge with the girls. And Lucy said, oh, no, how can I tell the truth when I'm playing bridge with the girls? Well, I'll just call Carolyn Appleby up and tell her I'm sick. But that was just a classic example of how a mind can work. Somebody who's so used to lying, it was just so natural for her to go over. And, of course, she caught herself, and you'll have to watch the episode because it was very funny. But we are new creations in the Lord, and we should no longer walk in the way that we once walked. Ephesians 4:22 and 25 tell us, put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, each one speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Putting away lying. No more lying. Now, when I'm not saying I've never told a lie, because that would be lying if I said that. I've told lies, used mostly to get out of trouble, and but lying was not something that I did all the time. I had a problem doing that, and I had a problem big enough to where I was too honest. So you know, people would say, "Oh, I got a new shirt. Do you like it?" I can't lie. It was just not good. Something I just can't. No, I don't. I've had to learn to, and I don't want to. My mom calls them love. Oh, it's a little love lie, you know. So you don't hurt anybody's feelings. Well, no, you just kind of, whatever. Don't ever ask me unless you really want to know. It's just best not to. That's my own problem. Anything that isn't the truth is a lie. And Ananias, he came in, presented the money in such a way that he was leading someone to believe he was telling the truth. Sapphira came in and flat out lied. There's different ways of lying. You can just flat out look somebody in the face and say, no, I didn't do that. No, I didn't say that. Or you can not tell the truth and go around to lead them to believe something that isn't true. Or then there's always the stretching and the exaggeration that we tend to do, you know. $50 doesn't sound like much, but, you know, $65, that sounds better. You know, we just kind of add that little extra. I don't know what it is about us that we just want to make it sound better, you know. Psalm 119:29 says, remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. And that might be a good one for some of us to write down. Remove from me the way of lying, 119:29. Now, to me, there's two big reasons that a person would lie. And one of them is to not get in trouble. I don't want to get in trouble, so I'm going to lie to get out of trouble. I don't want to bear the consequence of what I said about this person, what I did, or whatever it might be, so I'm going to lie about it to get out of trouble. Because I don't want you to think that I gossiped, or I don't want you to think that I went behind the backstop and smoked. So I want to lie about it to get out of trouble. And then the other reason is that I want you to think of me differently than my heart really is. So I want to look better to you than I really am. So I'm going to lie so that I can try to be more spiritual. And Ananias and Sapphira's sin of lying simply revealed their hypocrisy. They tried to look more spiritual than they really were. Their heart wasn't there. And it was okay that their heart wasn't there. Nobody was making them sell this and give all. They weren't ready. They weren't ready. And it wasn't really even required of them. But they thought, oh, everyone else is. Everyone else does this. Everyone else says this. Everyone else, whatever. And I want to be like everyone else because everybody else thinks everybody else is so spiritual. And I want to be spiritual too. So whether I do this thing or not, I want them to believe that I am more spiritual. And have you ever known anyone like that? Maybe there's somebody in your family. Maybe there's a close friend or whatever. And you know they have a rotten temper. They get mad, or you know that they are just, they have no faith. They worry and worry and worry and worry about everything. But yet when you're in a group with them, they talk about trusting the Lord and they give those scriptures and, you know, all of that. And they come up, try to appear, and everybody else is thinking they're so spiritual. You know, oh, you know that they're not. But yet they portray this. It's hypocrisy, and you know it. You can see it. And doesn't our sin look horrible on other people? It looks worse on other people. But we need to take a look at ourselves. What about you? What about me? Have I ever tried to look or to sound more spiritual than I really am? And why? Why would I do that? Why would I do that? Jesus, speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, he said to them, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" My words, I can talk about my devotional life. I can talk about and kind of, you know, drop when I prayed and how I did this and all that. So you can think that I'm on my knees all the time or I'm super spiritual. But my heart might be far from that, and it shouldn't be. And just as lying revealed the hypocrisy reveals pride, which is really the bottom line to all our sin, is pride. It's ugly and it's sickening. And it's that pride in our hearts that we think we're more spiritual than we are, and we want others to think we're more spiritual than we are. James 4, 6 and 10 says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We already read in Proverbs that it's an abomination. He hates a proud look. And then it tells us to humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And we all know this scripture, Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And you know, chances are you're not going to fool anyone other than yourself anyway. You know, people aren't stupid. They hear, they see, they know. They're gracious, they love, but you know, hypocrisy can be Michelle Britton. Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's the wrong Michelle. Landon. Oh. So you're probably not going to fool anyone. And it's very dangerous to continue it because you can fool yourself and then you're in a real dangerous spot. You just need to settle the fact that you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. No one is perfect. The only perfect one is the Lord. And we look at other people and we can think that they're this or they're that, but no one is perfect. Now, years ago, when I first got saved in the ministry that we were in, and some ministries can be like this, there is a certain, I don't know what you call it. It's not verbally said, but there's a kind of this unspoken thing that you have to be perfect. You have to be this spiritual person. And so you don't ever share anything, because then you would reveal that you're not perfect. And you wouldn't want to say that you're struggling, because then, you know, you don't have faith to believe, or, you know, whatever. And you walk around then thinking you're more spiritual than you are, because you have to be, kind of a thing, yet your heart's not there. It's all pretend. It's all hypocrisy. And you can get caught up in that. Well, I had a friend, and we both moved at the same time, and I love her dearly, and she's a kook. And she wrote me this letter, and she poured her heart out. Now, we'd been friends a long time, but never really the pouring your heart out kind of thing, because you couldn't. You couldn't share anything, you know, because somebody might tell somebody else, and the pastor would find out, and then you get in trouble. And so this friend, she wrote this letter, and she poured her heart out, and at the end she wrote, "There, I'm not perfect, now you know." Now, and she's, you know, it's a relief for her, you know, and I wrote her back and said, "I already knew." "But I know what you mean." Where, yeah, you know, I mean, of course we know. We just think that people don't know that we're not perfect, or whatever it is. But, you know, just be who God wants you to be. And if you aren't here in your spiritual walk yet, don't pretend to be. Be where you are and share who you are, and don't pretend to be someone that you're not. It is a miserable place to be. It's a miserable life. No one's going to judge you if you share something about a struggle or whatever it might be, and if they do, they're wrong, not you. Just be who God called you to be and where He has you at this place in time. It's frustrating otherwise. Now, if I do these charitable deeds and I in public and then I present them in public, I'm going to look like a bigger idiot doing all of that than doing all that I can do, this little tiny thing. That's more appreciative. People want to see that more than this big to-do pretending that I'm something that I'm not. It's a miserable place to be, to live like that. I don't think you want to live like that. And nobody is expecting you to live like that. The Lord is not expecting you to live like that. And the people in this fellowship are not expecting you to live like that. Now, there's the other side of this that we don't want to go overboard on. And there are some people who really are into being transparent, really into, you know, having that heart-to-heart thing, you know, and you got to be open and all of that kind of thing. And sometimes they'll, you know, ask you how you are, and, you know, they really look in your eyes, and you tell them you're fine, and it's like they're disappointed because they really wanted you to share your heart and all that stuff. You can't be fine, you know, kind of a thing. You can go way overboard on just being who you are. You don't have to spill your guts. You don't have to share everything about you to everyone. You don't have to do that. But at the same time, don't pretend to be something that you're not. It's okay to come in and say, somebody says, "How are you?" And you say, "You know what? I have a rotten attitude, but God's working with my heart. So pray for me." And nobody's going to think that you're unspiritual. I respect that more than, I'm fine, kind of all the time. So let's take this message and these lessons of lying, hypocrisy, as really a warning from the Lord. And, you know, I thought it was wonderful that Donnell always prays over her list. And these songs that we sang this morning about the Lord being that desire of our heart and being with Him, that one thing that we've desired, and His holiness, and ending on that song, Thou Art Worthy. You just see the holiness of the Lord, and you see the heart of God. And He's serious. And so maybe some of us had to have this little prick in the heart of, you know, you've been lying. You're exaggerating. You're always adding a little more to make yourself look better. And maybe there's pride in there. And to allow the Lord to search our hearts and to see if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, is there anything in my heart? Am I not being who You want me to be? Am I pretending? I don't want to pretend. And that we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. Lord, I pray that You would help us with this, Lord. And what a sobering passage to see the seriousness of lying and of hypocrisy and of really, Lord, lying against You and testing You. And Lord, I pray that You would cleanse our hearts and that You would open our ears when we speak, Lord, so that we can hear ourselves and You can bring that conviction if it's needed, Lord, when we add that little extra thing and lie or to try to not get in trouble if we think we're going to get in trouble or to try to look better than we really are, Lord. And help us just to walk in You in that newness of life, doing what is only pleasing to You, not looking at man, not fearing man, and not trying to please man, but only to please Your heart, Lord. Lead us in the way. Teach us, Lord. Continue to speak to our hearts. We thank You. We love You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.